by KF6Q on Tech Tuesday, 1900 hours on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater here. Every Tuesday, weather permitting, conditions permitting, at 1900 hours, we have our Tech Tuesday. Mike, my buddy, WB6CLZ, are you out there?
Well, of course we're here, Tom. Wouldn't miss it. This is WB6CLZ. Pulled myself off of HF, and I'm here and standing by.
You can go play with your other toys in a bit. Alrighty, got a couple people out there I think are going to check in on Echolink, and we'll give them a shot here. Is there anybody out there on Echolink to check in this evening? Please come back. We'll give you a few minutes. A few seconds. I don't hear anybody out there, Mike. Is there anybody else out there this evening who'd like to check in? Please come back now.
W6KMM.
K6BHM, Frank and Woodcrest. KI6IQA.
K6CIA.
Roger that. Mike, are you trying to write as fast as I am? I think we had somebody out there, I had W6KMM, and I did not get the call of a second person there. Please come back.
That was me, K6CIA.
KHM, name is Frank in Woodcrest.
Okay, IQA was in there also, Tom, and don't all you Echolinkers try to get in there at once.
Oh, we had Frank in there in Woodcrest. That Frank, I didn't get your whole call there, but I got KE6, and George, I got you there, and Kelly. Frank, just come back real quick.
Suffix is VHM. VHM.
Okay, roger that. Anybody else out there also like to check in this evening, please come back.
KJ6DBQ.
Red Mountain.
Okay, we got KJ6DBQ, Peggy, and there was another gentleman there. Please come back.
E6GCF, Red Mountain.
Roger that. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there, please come back.
Even Tom, W6AWL.
KJ6HZS.
Alrighty, well, we got Mike there, KJ6ACS, and Art, WA6AWL, glad to have you with us there. And Jim, KJ6KDL, and I know where KDK is, over there slaving away at the computer club. Great to have you all with us this evening. Anybody else out there, please come back.
KJ6FIL.
Glad to have you with us, Mike, in Redlands. Anybody else, please come back.
KJ6GDR, John.
We got a KJ, I believe it was KJ6DBR, John. Correct me if I'm wrong there. Anybody else, please come back.
KJ6GGR.
All right, thank you very much, John. Anybody else out there, please come back.
KJ6IK, Craig.
Alrighty, Greg, glad to have you with us. Anybody else out there?
D6PO.
Glenn, Red Mountain.
Alrighty, Mike, was that one person or two people? Please come back.
I think you had a guy in Red Mountain. Why don't we have him come back?
Yeah, this is KE6. GCF, Glenn and Red Mountain.
All right, Glenn, Red Mountain. Where is that at? Just real quick.
We halfway between Creamer Junction and Ridgecrest. I'm out here in the Rand District.
Hey, roger that. You're way out there. Alrighty, anybody else in there want to come in and check in right now? Please come back.
KJ6, PTK.
GT, Tom, DHS.
And 7WNO.
KJ6, PCK.
Alrighty. Mike, did you get all those, or we had four people in there? I missed a couple. I got KJ6, BCK, Adam, and that was the last one. And three others before that. Did you catch those?
Got W7, Whiskey, November, Oscar, and there was one other gentleman in there also, or maybe two.
Alrighty. Yeah, we got a little doubling going on. Other two gentlemen, please come back.
Kilo Juliet 6, Delta Zulu Tango, Tom, THS.
All right, thanks, Tom. And the other gentleman, if you would come back, please. Maybe I misunderstood that. All righty, anybody else down there wants to check in, please come back.
G6PL.
Oh, roger, glad to have you with us again. Anybody else out there, please come back.
K6WWR.
All right, Kelly, glad to have you with us. Anybody else out there?
AF6ZJ.
All righty, AF6ZJ. Anybody else, please come back. That could be good. I'm running out of paper. Mike, I hope you've got a sharp pencil this evening. Well, for everybody out there who's been following along with us, we've had a couple of antenna workshops, and we've tried to cover all the facets of ham radio from last March through today. We've only missed, I believe, twice where we've had bad weather, which really we left the repeater open, so in case there was any emergency traffic. And speaking of which, let's just give a little quick pause. If there's any emergency traffic, please come now. That's good. Don't hear any out there. That is fantastic. So what we would like to do is we're going to start another new group of sessions coming up. We're going to focus on the VHF and possible UHF. All you people out there listening, of course, we're all on a VHF repeater. Everybody out there obviously has a 2-meter radio. So we're going to try to get a very organized session of taking you through the antennas and a lot of the stuff and functions of VHF. But first, we'd like to just kind of wrap up our long wire, and we don't want to ride a dead horse into the ground here. Mike, we have covered just about every long wire antenna under the sun, and then the ones that aren't under the sun. So basically you have at your QTH, just real quick, bring everybody up to speed, you have two, and you had three, but you have two different antennas installed currently, correct?
Starting wire antennas, yes, that's correct. I have a ZS6BKW, which is an optimized version of the G5RV, and KI6SKN and I put up a 420-foot horizontal loop a couple days ago, and I've been playing around with that. Other than a few verticals kicking around here, that's basically our antenna farm for HF.
Okay, Raj, that, and I'd like to point out here, these are homemade antennas. This is basically wire. It could be number 14 house wire. It can be number 16 enamel wire. It could be anything. The object here is something that you can do and build, and it will work, and getting it to work great on a budget, and how it works, why it works, and all that good stuff. Like we have said before, you can just about any more today put anything out there as a wire and run it through a tuner, a good tuner, and you're going to transmit. Now, you're not, you may not transmit as great as you'd like to, so that's what we're going to do here. And like I say, this first thing is I think we need to clear up a couple things. We all refer to the S meter and dBs and all that good stuff. Mike, did you see any of those things I sent over to you?
To that, Tom, yeah, we were talking about, I guess we'll start off with dB. You want to take that or you want me to play with that?
Well, let me go ahead and just get it started there, rolling. And we all hear about this is like 3 dB gain or 1 dB gain, or, you know, they'll rate antennas that you buy or antennas that you build on gain. We're going to talk about gain a little bit, too. It's not like gain that you have on a stereo amp for your car. Quite a bit different. But we're going to talk about that in a minute. Anyway, the dBs is a logarithmic scale. We don't want to bore everybody with the math. But it's basically a relation of what it was to what it is now. Let's say if you simply double your signal power, or whether it's going out or coming in, that is actually equal to 3 dBs. And that's D standing for decibel. Mike, anything to add on that?
Oh, that says that area in a nutshell, I think, Tom. If you double your signal, that's 3 dB. And that's not about, that's about half an S unit. But let's go to that one.
Well, one quick second there. And we say decibel, the bell, the B-E-L, is actually a measurement. It was created a long time ago. Not going to say how or why. A decibel is actually a tenth of a bell, and that's more, I say, more usable for what we have. 0 dB is actually not zero signal. It's just actually the same ratio. It's like a 1-to-1 ratio. If you double it, it's 3 dBs. It's a logarithmic scale. 6 dBs is 4 times the signal, and 9 is 8 times the signal. So every time you go up 3 dBs, you've doubled where you were before. So anyway, and we all have, or we have a bar graph or something on our radios called an S meter. S meter. What does that mean? Mike, you want to elaborate a little bit? Go ahead.
I think that's that little meter on most radios. Some of them don't, but most of them do. And that tells you your signal strength of the received signal.
Roger that. And it's basically a relative strength. It actually has a calibrated amount. The basic S meter range is from S1 to S9. Of course, a lot of our meters will go plus 20, plus 40, plus 60. And the plus 20 and plus 40 and plus 60 is dBs, and why they switched to that, I have no clue. But anyway, actually moving from S1 to S2, that's one S unit. And let's see, what kind of a signal difference is that, Mike? I mean, we've only moved one S unit. What does that mean?
I think that would mean that the signal has doubled, would it not?
Well, you've definitely gone from S1 to S2, so that is true. But each S unit is equal to 6 dB difference, and 6 dB is times 4. So actually, when you go from a S1 reading to an S2 reading on your your signal level there, that actual relative signal coming into your antenna is actually 4 times stronger. And if it goes from S2 to S3, it is actually 4 times stronger than that. As you can see, these are logarithmic scales, and going from an S1 to an S9, of course, is an incredible jump. If you have somebody who's possibly coming into your receiver with an S5, and then he changes something and he went to an S6, well, that doesn't sound like much, but that one S unit is the equivalent of him increasing his power by a factor of 4. So, Mike, what do most of our HF radios come with as standard power?
Well, usually 100 to 200 watts, with any more 100 to a 150 being pretty much standard.
Roger that. And a lot of mobile units, I know VHF are 50 watts, sometimes more, sometimes less. I'd say an average of 50. So if you have, let's say, a radio, a transmitter, and you're transmitting your typical 100 watts power out there, and let's say you're talking to a guy in Texas, and the guy says, well, you're hitting me with an S5, which is, let's say that's just good for whatever purpose, and then you make a change. You take and you kick in, you got a power amp there, and you kick it in up to 400 watts, so you've actually gone four times your power. Now, in theory, you, from the S5, you should go up to an S6.
That's the way I understand it, at least if theory is correct. KF6Q, WB6CLZ in the group.
That was KF6Q. And actually, that's there's a lot more fact than fiction to that. Just a little background on the S9 reading actually has a specific receiver input power. Very, very small, of course, because we're talking about microvolts. But these S units actually do correlate to physical measurements of power and our voltage coming into your antenna. So they're actually realistic. They're not make-believe. And this is a good way we can compare radios, antennas, power conditions. Let's say today or tomorrow, maybe that same guy or I'm talking to the same guy in Texas, and he says, well, you're only hitting me with an S4, and I have 400 watts even. And you know, that can change because of atmospheric conditions. But so if you're going to do comparisons, best to do it same day, same station, you know, same place, to get all the ducks in line and make sure everything, you're comparing apples to apples. Mike, let's see, I think, what would you say the very basic wire antenna would be? We'll start from there and work out to the one, the last one you put up. What's the very basic?
Very basic, I think, would either be a dipole, which was generally center fed. In other words, the transmission line goes to the center, and you have balanced on each side. In other words, an equal amount of wire on each side, or a ZEP, which is a long wire, which is end fed, and you hook your coax or whatever, your ladder line, to the end and feed it that way. Those are two of the most basic antennas, in my opinion.
Roger that. Just actually fed, one's fed from the middle, one's fed from the end. Little definition here on dipole. What's dipole mean? In reference to like a magnet, you have a north pole and a south pole. A dipole is an antenna that has the two different polarities on that. That is how it got the name. There is no such thing as a monopole, and there is no tripole, quad pole, or anything bigger than that. So the dipole is just actually a term. Typically, half wave is a good length. We can go bigger than that, but half wave. So basically, your Zeppelin antenna, nicknamed for that from the Zeppelins, they used to trail a wire behind them, was a wire, half wave, and just fed from an end. One end, and that's you can't get much more basic than that. And the next step up is the dipole, which is a G5RV. That's a dipole. The ZS6, we're going to call it the Burger King Whopper, shortened and perfected version of the G5RV. And basically, these are named after hams that actually spent some time making them work. And essentially, all they are is a piece of wire up there with a transmission line going to mostly in the middle if they're center fed. Mike, I'd say that I think Ray's got one over there, and you've got one. You've got... did you ever take down that one dipole? You had a basic dipole also. Did you take that down, or is it still up?
Roger, Tom. The basic 75-meter dipole is no longer here in Big Bear, but I still do have one down at my home in Placentia. We still have a basic dipole down there. We use that in conjunction with a vertical antenna and a beam antenna. But I'm getting out of the dipole here.
Roger that. And the purpose of all this with this, what we're discussing, is basically you can go to HRO or order through AES and buy one of these. Pretty convenient. It's already cut to length. No guarantee that's tuned for what you wanted, but it is cut to a certain length that should work. And, you know, it comes with a couple of goodies there as far as insulators. And what you've got is anywhere from $35 to $45 just for this dipole. And if we're going to talk about the probably the most popular band, the lowest, the longest it would be 80 meters. Essentially, Mike, what is that, about a, I'm going to say 120 to 130, depending on what part of the band, 120-foot piece of wire. What did you just spend for 500 feet?
We bought 500 feet of number 14 stranded wire, electrical house wire, that is insulated, for $40. That's the going price. Varies every week, but that's the average price nowadays.
Roger, I think what we're trying to say here is $40, divide that by four, because I think you could get four dipoles out of that thing if they were 120 feet long. So that'd be about $10. $10 versus going and spending 40. Not a huge savings, but it's the savings. And this is, it's a lot of fun building your own stuff. I've built my own, and it works. Actually, it's hard to make them not work. Okay, but anyway, so from this basic dipole that pretty cheap if you just throw up a wire, and when you said that's number 14 stranded house wire, I know you're an electrician, and that's probably something pretty common that you would use. But we don't have to have that. We could have, what, number 16? Could be number 18. Don't think it's really critical on the size, and I think the you know, the smaller the gauge of wire, smaller physically and larger number-wise, probably is even cheaper than that.
Yeah, roger that. I would think you could start with number 18, number 16. The only issue we're going to run into is how much power it will handle and how long you're going to run it before it stretches. You know, there's basic issues behind that, but, oh, yeah, basic antenna, you can get by with, I would say number 18 would probably be the minimum.
Roger that. So we're talking $10 for 14, probably talking $5 for wire. And you're up in the air, on the air, I should say, with your antenna in the air, and you're good to go. So doesn't take much to get on HF as far as antennas go. Well, let's go up the scale a little bit. That's the basic antenna. Let's see now, and we have mods of that. We have modifications, the G5RV and the BKW. In type of antenna itself, there are other ways to make it a little bit better. The best thing we want is an antenna that's going to work on all the frequencies. I mean, we have antennas in our car. They work on the AM band, the FM band. They work both. So we want this antenna for ham radio to work as many bands as possible. And the bands, there are a lot of bands out there. If you get your HF, you get a general license and you're on HF, opens up a lot of doors out there. So anyway, I would say we could go into the specialties of the folded dipole, but let's see, what else? We have a fan dipole, and you want to describe those two, Mike?
A folded dipole is basically just a regular old dipole, single-wire dipole, that's folded back against itself, hence the name folded dipole. One of the issues, one of the pluses of that is you get a little bit broader frequency on it, so you don't have to worry about tuning such narrow areas in the bandwidth without working your tuner.
Roger that, and as you say, fold it back. Actually, the dipole itself is full length, and we're going to say for 80 meters, let's say it's 120 feet. It's actually another 120 feet of wire on the back side. And on the front side, there's a break in the wire in the middle. We usually feed from there. On the back side, this wire is solid from end to end. So effectively increases the bandwidth. The average impedance is about times four, the math we're not going to discuss tonight. We're going to keep it simple. Your basic dipole, if it's up in the air enough and away from the ground, it'll have about 72 ohms impedance, and when you fold it like that, it jumps up four times, which is about 300 ohms or close to it. So the folded dipoles were really, really pretty neat to have when people are running 300 ohm wire coming back in. So good reason for that. How about the fan dipole? What's going on with that one?
Fan dipole is as many dipoles as bands you want to work. Each dipole, it's a multiple dipole. Each wire section is resonant on a particular band. Say you want an 80, 40, and 20-meter dipole, you would have three separate dipoles. I think they're separated by about a foot and a half, but they all have the same feed line. And as you transmit, your RF selects the particular dipole for that band, basically, without going into the math, and uses that, and you can use multiple bands with a dipole. How's that?
Grasshopper, you've made an inch in the last 2 months. Yes, that's pretty much it. The top dipole will be straight out flat, if, as possible, and then each one, the shorter ones, drop down below it. Now, in the middle, you'll have a thing, we're going to call it like a Christmas tree, kind of like a Christmas tree at a drag strip. Basically, as you come down the lights, each one is going to stem off and have a shorter wire. The closer you get to the bottom is your last band. And out at the ends, they should have at least 3 foot of separation to work properly without interfering. And at the Christmas tree or the support in the middle, I think about 6 inches is good, maybe a foot, but there's a little room to play with. And that's the advantage is, number one, you now have a specialty antenna for each band, depending, you know, if you have whichever bands you choose. And you feed it all with the same line, and the RF will pick the one that it likes the best automatically. Pretty neat. No switching. What's one of the disadvantages, Mike, of that fan dipole? Sounds pretty good, but what's a couple disadvantages?
Main disadvantage I would think of is they get pretty heavy, and also if you live in windy areas, which we kind of do up here in Big Bear, you've got basically a windmill hanging out there, and unless it's tied down good, it's not going to last long.
Roger that. That's probably two of the main things, and of course the third is more wire or more money. You know, less wire is free. So you've got, you're putting out more money there. And as you're going to find as we're talking about this evening, that all antennas are a compromise. They're a compromise of basically how much space you have. If you don't have a lot of space, people run verticals for HF. You can be in an apartment building and have a vertical for HF. But if you got some real estate, depends how much you got and how much you want to spend on this antenna you're going to build. But the good thing is, if you build it yourself, you're paying for the materials only. And with a little guidance from what we're trying to do here, a little antenna workshop stuff, which we have more coming up, is to just show people this is how easy it is to throw it together. We put stuff in the air when we do this at these workshops. We put the meter on them, and we check them out. We make them work right there in front of you. So, no baloney. So, anyway, all right, Mike, well, let's see, folded dipole, fan dipole, let's see. What if one leg of the dipole is shorter than the other? What do we have then?
Six. In the Tech Tuesday group. This is WB6CLZ. Well, let's go down south and talk about Carolina. I think that would be a Carolina Wyndham.
Yeah, roger that. Wyndham, and then a little mod was done to it and picked up the nickname Carolina Wyndham. Essentially is a dipole not fit in the middle. However, what we end up with is two antennas. We have two antennas and fed back-to-back. And that will work. It works as you have now two different antennas, and you have some vertical section there that also radiates because of that. And with that all put together, kind of gives you a little more out there, but now you're kind of getting a little picky because one side's only going to work on one band, and the other side's only going to work on another band, and they'll kind of maybe work in the middle there. So they do work. They're not cheap. I've heard they run from $100 to $120 for a couple pieces of wire and an insulator. And I'm not sure if that even comes with a lead-in, but I'm sure it does. So anyway, well, let's see. As we get away from the dipoles, we start getting into the specialties. couple things like the G5RV. And then you just put up a ZS6BKW, which is essentially a dipole specially tuned to work on a lot of bands. How's that work for you?
Oh, that's a nice little antenna. Basically, that is less than 90 feet. It's a kind of a short antenna with a center insulator dropping down with some ladder or window line. About 40 feet or 36.8 feet or something like that, about 40 feet of that. Then it goes into a choke or an ugly ballon or some sort of a ballon, converts over to RG-type coax, and heads up into your transmitter. And very nice multi-band antenna. Works pretty well.
Yeah, roger that. Well, and one thing to mention here, too, with these dipoles, we're talking 120 feet, 130 feet, 90 feet. I think the G5RV is 103 feet, you know, plus inches or whatever on these. Essentially, they can be mounted in what we call a V-shape, an upside-down V. So they actually can take up less space. So if it's 90 feet long and it's sloping 45 in each way, you're going to end up probably around 60 feet is what you need. So you can actually fit this on a smaller lot. And how about directionality as far as... do you have to aim these things?
If it's inverted, it aims a little bit different from what I understand than it does if it's a flat top, which means your boat, all the whole antenna is parallel to the ground rather than sloping at an angle. But yes, it does have lobes on depending on how it is hung.
Break. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Tom, I got a question for you. Say you take a G5RV, put it up about 35 feet in a triangular loop configuration there. How would a configuration work like that? I've done some reading on it, so you got any personal experience on how that would work out?
Okay, let me see if I got you understand this correctly. Now, we've got a G5RV, which could be flat top, or we can bring it as an inverted V, and you're saying as a triangle loop, or maybe I'm not catching you right there.
Yeah, kind of run it off of flat top it and everything, but run it from off of 3 points there and everything.
Yeah, it's pretty flexible. Essentially, even with a G5RV and also with a dipole, I'd say, if what I understand, it's the last third of each leg can actually even drop straight vertical. So, and you'll not have a lot of effect from that. So, there's actually loops that are made in the triangle, upside down and right side up. So we haven't done a lot of experimentation with that, but I think it would be interesting to do and compare. And like I said, the best way to do it is with your S-meter. If you're on the HF bands and you get out there, there are beacons, and these are great things. You can actually get some signal readings from beacons. Beacons are transmitters out there that run just about 24/7, and if you go online, you can get a list of those. So you say, okay, well, this beacon at this frequency is coming from Texas. And you can compare using that if you can't find anybody to talk to in CQ. So hopefully that answers part of your question.
Okay, thanks a lot, Derek. Just I'm getting ready to get that tower up. By the way, this is Zebra Jockey down here in Rosemond, and I'm getting closer all the time, and I'm looking at that kind of configuration as a potential.
Yeah, no, if you get that thing up there, I think Mike over here, and that's my partner here, he's basically got his up there on a tower 35, 40 feet, maybe a little higher, and he has each end coming down to about, I'd say 20 feet. Mike, are you still out there, or you kind of dropped out real quick?
We're right here. Yeah, my tower is the center of everything. Yeah, but the loop starts and ends at the tower, and The ZS6BKW center point is up on the tower. So, yeah, that works really good, guy. Yeah, when you get ready to put that up, give me an email or give me a call. Well, I think we're going to proceed into what I found with a loop, too, I think, Tom. So, yeah, listen up, and we will pass that on to you, maybe.
Roger that. Yeah, and as we've said in the past, all of these antennas work. Some will work better on certain applications, and some of these just won't fit on your property. Or maybe there's too much involved, too much wire. It doesn't fit your budget. So it's always a compromise of one or another. The ZS6BKW, boy, that's a lot to say over and over again. Anyway, we'll call it the Burger King Whopper. Good antenna, good compromise, and why is that? Well, it works pretty good on, I think, five different bands, and it works very, very well. And it does work on more than that with a little help from a tuner. So, and Mike, who was very happy with that, said, well, what about a loop, a horizontal loop at that? Mike, you want to tell us about what you put up?
Roger that. Well, we went down to Home Depot and bought a 500-foot roll of number 14 wire. And for about a month or so now, we've been going to use that to make some sort of a loop antenna. Finally, got off my duff and had a very good friend come over and help me do that. Actually, he came with a pole in his truck. We had to give him some cookies, though, to bribe him. And we basically, in about an hour or less, strung out that 100-foot of wire, put some surplus fiberglass poles with the pole that he brought, and started at the tower, which goes up to about 40 feet, worked our way out, worked ourselves into a big 420-foot rectangle, and hooked the thing up and kind of adjusted it and played around with it and stuck a ballon on the end of it. And much to my surprise, the darn thing works very well.
Right, so we're talking, and all these circumstances, this is probably the most expensive. Like I said, we're talking compromise here, and you have to have some space for it because you're 400 feet around this thing. So I'm guessing that's about 100 feet on each leg without doing any complex math. That pretty much is how that works out. So you got to have some space for that one. And it's a little bit more money. You're almost $40 worth of material. Easy to put up, I guess, if you had a lot of the poles are already up. But now, for this $40 antenna, and we'll just call it the $40 antenna, and you're very happy with the BKW, what was the difference? You talked to some people in Canada, and you talked to a guy in Arkansas. Now, these are, of course, not people, we weren't paying these people to lie. So, and we're going to just take the S units, and be honest, the average change in S unit received by these other people from going from the BKW, a very, very good antenna, to this loop.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, go ahead. This guy, correct?
Yeah, sorry. AF6ZJ. Hey, on the when you were setting up that quad and everything, did you feed it on the corner or in the center? From what I've seen on it and everything, that's usually the requirement to go ahead and bring your wire off of the center or off of right at the corner.
Okay, KF6Q here. Well, I'm going to go by, I know what Mike did there. Now, on a horizontal loop, it really doesn't matter. A corner is a good spot. It can be down the middle of a leg. It doesn't matter. It's still going to be the same. Now, a vertical loop, that's totally different. Depending where you feed it is whether your signal is horizontal or vertically polarized, which also is not going to make a big difference way out there, but nearby you're going to have some big issues. So with the horizontal loop, it doesn't matter where you feed it from, literally. So it's pretty neat. But we're going to get into a couple of the other bad issues about them, but we'll hit all the good ones first. So does that answer your question there, sir?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I just seen something about it, and yeah, as far as the negatives, but not steal the thunder. Yeah, I'd heard about the 160 and 80 problems being cloud burners strictly, but that in the lower bands and everything, when you get down to 20, like in that region, 20 to 10 and everything, it's actually pretty good for a horizontal takeoff.
Yeah, roger that. Mike, you want to add to that, and I'll go ahead and fill in some of the blanks there on the cloud burner aspects, but go ahead, WB6CLZ. And this is KF6Q here with Tech Tuesday. Go ahead, Mike.
I don't believe all you read. Anyway, yeah, I have not really played around with it on the lower bands yet. I mean, the thing's just up. But from what I'm seeing, I don't find that to be true. I have a terrible noise level here during the day, so I really can't tell you what's happening there. But at night on 160 and 80, so far I'm working out at some pretty good distances. It's not going straight up and over to my neighbors. That is the kind of configuration that the military uses, like in Afghanistan, where they have to go up and down into valleys and like that above mountains. And you do have a weird takeoff angle, but in my experience, you know, with just a couple of days, that's not totally correct. Tom, you go ahead and take that and give us some theory on that.
Okay, roger that. This is actually in a lot of email and conversation with some people that have used these for years. Now, the whole trick on the cloud burner aspect is how long the antenna is. Now, he's got 400 feet there, 420 feet. And I think a full wave for 80 meters, what was that? Was it like 558 feet, something like that, Mike? Anyway, so he's a little short with the wire length there. What you want to do is have at least 2 to 3 wavelengths. Now, we're talking real estate here, okay? You know, it's going to take some space. But if you can do that, 2 to 3 wavelengths for the lowest band that you want to work on, you will get, I'm going to call it the launch angle or takeoff angle, starts to get down around 45 degrees. Now, it's not way down there around 10 like we'd like to see it, but I think hitting from California to Arkansas is a pretty good jump. So, yeah, it's all based on the length. And, of course, to do 80 meters or even 40, and definitely for 160, you'd have to have some real estate. Otherwise, you will be doing, but even when they call it a cloud burner, you're going to be doing a hop of at least 2,000 miles out there. Mike, anything to add? Go ahead.
Yeah, basically that's what I'm finding with my conversation with a guy in Arkansas and a guy in Canada, both at the same time today, switching between the ZS6BKW and the new loop. I was improving about... And this is being a little bit conservative. Sometimes it was 4S units because there was a little bit of QSB, but a good average is 3S units, 2.5 to 3S units between the two antennas. And I've always thought that ZS6 is one of the finest antennas I've ever used.
CJ?
Go ahead, CJ.
Yeah, Mike, as far as your configuration goes, how much are you using an amp of considerable power, or are you just going off 100 watts off of a regular unit like my FT840?
Using an Elecraft K3 with the straight 100 watts, and I turned it down even to 10 watts a couple of times with similar results. Obviously, not as much S unit, you know, but it was a similar result. Quite a bit of difference between the ZS6 and between the loop.
Okay, thank you.
You know, that's another factor here as. That we're trying to point out that it is very good to have a power amp. However, if you can put together a real decent antenna, it's going to actually do the same effect out there to whoever's out there listening to you. Like I said, the loop is good. Loop is going to have a little more what we call gain because it's got more wire and more bandwidth because it's a loop. So, gain, Mike, what is this gain? Let's see, if I got my stereo amp here, I turn up the gain or the volume, gets louder. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, I think what we're talking about is apparent gain. It's the gain when you put your antenna and switch it around. It's how much more power at the other end it appears to be instead of what you're actually cranking out.
You're roger that. And we have to make one note here that the antenna works both directions, receive and transmit. So a lot of what you do for the one is going to reciprocate and do the same for the other. And gain, somebody said, well, what if we had an imaginary antenna that was an imaginary piece of wire in a perfect environment? We'll call that the isotropic antenna. And if you all took your test to get your license, that was one of the questions out there. Anyway, this imaginary antenna has a gain of one, or is basically zero, and everything is based upon that. In other words, how much more signal are you bringing in more than what this imaginary antenna would do? So a dipole has, I think, what, 2.2, 2.8, something like that. The loop has, I believe, somewhere in the tune of about 4 dB or maybe even 5 dB over the isotropic. So as basically they're relative to this isotropic antenna. And so it's not really like you've hooked an amp up to it and there you go. That would be totally different.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Tom.
Now, one thing to think about, as you don't really do this much with wires, but we're going to start doing this with some of the VHF stuff because the antennas shrink incredibly. 2-meter antenna dipole is only 39 inches long, not 120 feet. So we can do a lot of magic here. We can stack them. We can put another antenna maybe 3-4 feet above it, typically one wavelength above it, and add the two together and run wires between them. Now we have actually two antennas instead of one. And yes, if they're spread apart far enough, we get double the signal coming in. And if we put four of them up there, spread apart far enough, we'll get four times the signal. And this is what you'll see in these massive arrays used for moon bounce, trying to get lots of gain, taking lots of antennas, because you're traveling, what, 500,000 miles? But anyway, and so that's a totally different type of gain. Now here again, it's all relative, but the more metal you got in the sky, the more space for those that microvolts to land on. Anything to add to that, Michael?
F6Q in the Tech Tuesday group. This is WB6CLZ. Well, yeah, I like to call that capture area. The more you got out there to catch those little microvolts, the more you're going to get. And all we got to do is tune it up to where it'll your transmitter will like it and kind of a resonant frequency. And that's the name of the game.
KF6Q here in the group. And thanks for IDing for me for a couple times there, Michael. So anyway, that's pretty much it in a nutshell, and you'll find that, yes, you can buy all of these at the store. You're going to spend a lot more money, but if you are budget conscious there and you're thinking like, well, you know what, I can spend this $120 for this Carolina Wyndham, or I can go out and spend $10 worth of wire and get something that's probably going to work just as good, maybe even better. But that's your choice. So anyway, but we'll help guide anybody through that process. If you need help, of course, you email us at ksxq@arrl.net or Michael over there at wb6clz@arrl.net. Well, anyway, we're going to move into some other stuff here, not tonight, but in the next upcoming nights, and we're going to go through all the VHF stuff. So if you're all out there still listening, you're a 2-meter person, we're going to go into some really cool stuff there. So Mike, anything to add as we get close to closing, and we'll take some questions and comments after that.
I think we're all either asleep or we've got headaches from too much thinking. I think we've covered it pretty well. That's a pretty well basic coverage of wire antennas. I think we've got it all, Tom.
Yeah, we're just trying to get some summaries there of some of the stuff we've dealt with over the last oh my gosh, other than our break for programming radios, we had about 4 to 5 weeks there of stuff, and trying to just basically give some good focus on each one individually, and then just we've got the conclusion here. So is there anybody out there, any questions? I know we haven't left a lot of gaps. We're trying to get a lot of information out there in a short period of time here, and I think we've still used up almost 50 minutes. But anybody out there, any questions, any suggestions or comments, please come back.
Comment.
Another comment.
Okay, let's take first comment. I believe that's A6PO.
D6PO. Yeah, just a quick comment. You double check this, but I believe that Maxwell's new book, Reflections 3, is on the market now. I haven't seen it. I haven't even seen his first two books, but I've been told that they're pretty much a must if you want to have a complete library of antenna theory and application. Hey, D6PO.
I appreciate that, yeah, and there's also Sebek's got a site and information there, and the ARRL also has a lot of information there, but that's good to know. Second comment, go ahead.
Howdy, K6YW. Yes, and it's interesting, a quarter wave antenna on a 70 centimeter radio works well, but the area is very small, so you know, you get a big array or something like that, it's getting to speed something like maybe you have on 40 or 80 or something, particularly in terms of that, because the area is so small to start out with. K6YW.
Yeah, roger that. And now I have seen pictures of what they call curtain arrays. These guys got to be some serious contesters or just people into some super DX. And they have, 40 and 80 meter dipoles, actually curtain arrays of these long wires. Quite an awesome spectacle to see. But, boy, you got to have some space. Anyway, anybody else out there? Comments, suggestions, or questions?
KM.
Go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris, KI6SKN. I have a question for Mike. I know right after we got done putting up his loop antenna, I came to my house and we did some transmitting and receiving back and forth, we'll say. And the antenna didn't seem to be putting out really well at that time. And I was curious as to what he did. Did he add a choke, Ballon, or what did you do there, Mike? KI6SKN.
Chris, KI6SKN and the Tech Tuesday group, WB6TLZ. Yeah, I had that hooked up to a little antenna tuner, figuring that I could bypass that and just use the basic antenna tuner as a way to get coax into my rig. Come to find out, that was not a good idea. So what I did is I had a commercial Ballon that I had broken a while back, repaired that, put that on the ladder line, and then coax into the rig, and made quite a bit of difference. It's just a one-to-one Ballon. Recommended on that antenna, according to what I'm reading on that particular antenna, is 4-to-1 Ballon. But that, like I say, we're not in the final stages of this antenna. We're still playing around with it, but that made all the difference in the world. That answer your question, Chris?
Yes, that helped out a lot. That's good. Now, that contact you made today to Alaska, was that on the Burger King Whopper, or was that on the loop antenna?
It was on the loop antenna. I made a bunch of contacts today where I was getting antenna comparisons, and on every comparison that I was getting, as far out as, Japan, when I had a guy, say again? Oh, yeah, in Milan, Italy. They had a pileup on them, so I didn't have much time to QSO. But I was using the loop antenna, but the ones that I did have comparison time with, the loop antenna compared quite a bit better to the BKW.
Right. Well, that's good to know, and thank you very much. I've been thinking of putting one up for the past year. That's one reason why I came over to help you out, because I wanted to see how they worked. So thank you very much, Mike. And, yeah, there were quite a few JAs out there today, I must say. Okay, thank you guys very much. I'll go ahead and continue on. This is KI6SKN.
KI6SKN, KF6Q. Also, I think Mike failed to mention he did shorten the antenna a little bit. Took off about, that was at my recommendation, and only because we did some math on it, and he just put an arbitrary length up. Worked out, I think you took out, 40 feet or something like that. Don't know if that made a big difference, but I think with the two tuners, you know, in tandem, they were having a little conflict issue, kind of like putting two fuel pumps in series in a car, something like that. But anyway, the good thing is, Mike, you didn't tell me about that. You talked to Milan, Italy, with a loop. Now, this is a cloud burner, right? I don't think Italy's straight up and straight back.
We had a little bit of an angle going on there, I think.
CJ?
Go ahead, CJ.
Yeah, when I was referring to before about cloud burners, I was referring to what, like 160 and 80 and everything. Now, when he was talking to Milan, was he talking on 20 or something like that or below?
It was 20 meters, so yeah, you are correct there. Yeah, I haven't really done much playing around on 160, 80, or 40. That's coming up in the next day or so. Maybe tonight if I can't sleep.
Okay, very good. Hey, another thing, Mike, the way you've got that set up, so you have the continuous loop basically going around your up in the trees or up on poles and everything, and so you just have the two ends and everything attached to each side of the ladder line coming down to your baling and then to the coax into the tuner?
Hi, Roger that. Yeah, it just loops around. I've got a center insulator on each leg, on each wire, goes to each leg of my ladder line, and then that just comes down into the shack. You know, when on, what is Sunday the 21st, when we have our next antenna workshop, come on down, take a look at it. Or, I mean, come on up and take a look at it. I forgot where you were at.
Yes, darn lowlanders. Okay, no, that sounds great. And the Balin definitely recommended. Okay. Yeah, I've got some 450 ladder line on order right now, 100-foot roll. So I've got a dipole up right now and everything, and I'm mostly just listening on it because I'm not able to get out very far with it. Anyways, back to you.
Tom?
Yeah, Guy, another thing there. No, I mean, it's the cloud burner aspect is a reality. But I think, let's see, if we're talking 20 meters, that's, what, 65, 70 feet. And you're, Mike, you were like 420. So you're almost six full wavelengths with 20 meters. And at six full wavelengths, that that launch angle or you know, whatever, takeoff angle really comes down. There is documentation on that. Not a lot, but there is some out there. And, yeah, so if you could just visualize, Guy, if you had enough room and you had six or seven wavelengths, you could be doing that on 80 meters. But, yeah, I think you have to have a measure your lot in acreage. So, all right, good deal. Fantastic. Any other questions, comments, or suggestions, please come now.
Hey, and again.
Go ahead, Chris.
Question. Now, that 40 foot you took out of that antenna, was it out of the wire itself or was it out of the ladder line?
That was 44 feet, and we took it out of the actual wire itself. The one we had over in the corner by my neighbor's house, I moved over to the other side of the slider to take up that 44 feet.
Hey, thank you very much, Mike. KI6SKN, back over to KF6Q.
Yeah, and Chris, basically what I did is just did a spreadsheet out, a little thing I sent over to Mike, and took each band, center of the band, you know, and a point that actually where the bands all kind of line up as multiples, which is another good thing about a loop. Now, I don't know if you've all heard that a dipole will work good at odd multiples of bands. The loop works at all multiples of bands. So if you can get it to work on 80, it'll work on everything. But anyway, yeah, that was basically all it was, is just some numbers and, you know, sweet spot lengths that he could hit, you know, whatever he wanted to do and how they all were. So maybe Mike or I can give you a copy of that when you get ready to do it. And I think it helps a little bit. So anybody else out there, any questions, comments, or suggestions? This is KF6Q Tech Tuesday. Well, Mike, I think we either put him to sleep or scared him away. So, all right. Well, I hope everybody out there has enjoyed being with us this evening. We have actually, we're happy that if we've helped anybody out there a little bit, it's a good thing. That's what it's all about. So, and appreciate everybody that has listened in, and appreciate that much more anybody who are still listening all the way through this thing, because I know this is, can be boring sometimes if you're not following through all this stuff. So. Alrighty. Well, and then we'll return the repeater back to normal use, whatever that could be. QST, QST, QST. This is KF6Q with WB6CLZ on Tech Tuesday, and we will be closing the net, standing by for a little bit, and returning the repeater to normal use. Thank you very much for all listening.